Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Dala.
Good afternoon, my elder. How are you?
Siyaphila, Mdala, wamkunjani?
Hi, siyaphilile Khonto.
Yes, man. Great to have you here on the Adventist World Radio. Thank you so much for making time to speak to us. We want to talk about the life, death, and the resurrection of Christ, precisely because it is one of the fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now, in Christ's life of perfect obedience to God's will, his suffering and death and resurrection, God provided the only means of atonement for human sin, so that those who by faith accept this atonement may have eternal life, and the whole creation may better understand the infinite and holy love of the Creator. Now, my elder, why did Jesus have to come to earth in a human form in the first place?
My elder, let me mention two things primarily. Mm. Number one, if God came as God, we wouldn't be able to stomach it. Mm. Remember in Exodus 33, 18 to 20,
mm. Moses says to God, "Show me your glory." And in verse 20, God says, "No man can see God and live." A sinful man cannot see a righteous divine God. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. Mm.
So hang on, before we go to number two, so you are saying that he then had to avoid coming directly himself as God, so that he saves us from dying?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, all right. Number two?
Number two, if he came as God, let's say maybe if it was possible that we do survive, he would not have been our good example. Because when we were to meet temptation, we were to say we cannot. He did it because he is God. So he was supposed to be to come in our form. So he becomes our example. This is also applicable in the days in which we live. For you to help people, for you to evangelize, you need to go down to people. Mm-hmm. You need to reach them so that they accept you first. Then you are able to bring the Jesus who saves.
Hmm. All right, but my elder, if you can just move around just a little bit, because you just keep cutting, and I do want us to hear everything that you've got to say, and without actually having to cut from here and there. Now, do we know if he was born with a sinful nature? I mean, we are saying that we're born in sin, so everyone who is born into sin. Or he was born human but perfect, like Adam at creation? Was born with a sinful proclivity, like everybody else, and as the Bible says, we are born into sin?
I'd just like to mention that Jesus Christ was born as we are, that he became our example. Because remember, even Adam, when he was created, he was created perfect, but he sinned. So even if Christ came in a nature before Adam sinned, the possibilities of him to sin were already there, as it happened with Adam. But he came in our nature, but he defeated the sinful nature.
It defeated the sinful nature. So,
yes.
Which means that he may have been fully human, but rather he may have been fully human, but he actually was much more God than he was human.
No, I would say he was just like us, because he did not depend in him being God. he in everything he was like us. He prayed, he hungered, he suffered, just like we do. So he did not use his godly power for his advantage.
All right. Now, coming to that, because you're saying that he didn't use his godly power to his advantage, which means that, as we normally hear, he was 100% God and 100% human. But what does that exactly mean? How is that even possible?
It's a difficult concept to fathom, but the Bible says exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
In John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God.
Hmm.
You come to verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. In Luke chapter 1, starting from verse 34, Mary asked the angel Gabriel a question. How will that be that I will become pregnant, having not met a man? Then in response, Gabriel says, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee, and thou shalt conceive, and the thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Take note, Gabriel says, the thing, it's what I call the God-man. Hence, Gabriel called it a thing. For when he looked at that, Gabriel didn't understand God becoming man.
Yeah, and I think humans don't understand God becoming man as well.
Yes, it's true. How is he 100% God?
Mm.
Remember John 10, starting from this 80 to 33, the Son of God. Then they wanted to stone him, the Pharisees, saying, how can you, being a man, call yourself God? You are blaspheming.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus Christ, remember, he forgave sin.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the prerogative of God and God only. He claimed to be the Son of God. So if you are the Son of God, you are God.
So tell me, Mdalawam, if you have a son and he says, I am Malati's son, is he claiming to be you?
Yes, he's claiming my surname.
No.
He is claiming my teachings, my everything. He is one with me. Hence, he is called a Malati.
Is he claiming to be you when he says, I am Malati's son? Is not
necessarily me physically, but me in teachings and me in everything. Remember, with Jesus Christ claiming to be God, he was not claiming to be the Father, but to be the Son of the Father.
When we read through scripture, though, he has claimed to be the Son of God, because he would say, my Father this, my Father that. So I don't think he did claim and said, I am God.
Yes, he never claimed to say he is God.
Now, if then he never claimed to be God, and he says, well, my Father, how do we then humans, misconstrue that to mean that he is God? I mean, I've got a son also, and if my son says that my father is this and this and that, surely people would not understand him to be saying he's me. I'm talking about this day and age, and it actually has been like that. People have been claimed to be sons of particular individuals. We've never understood them to be actually claiming to be those individuals.
True.
How do we then misconstrue Christ saying that his Father is God for us to be understanding that he's saying he's God?
If you read through scripture, Christ was so humble that he never claimed the Godship. But you look at the, like the verse I've mentioned, John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he himself was God, but he humbled himself so much that he humbled himself unto death, never claiming to be equality with God. So says Philippians 2, 6.
All right. So he is born. He's coming as a 100 God and 100 human. How did this work then? On which days would he wear his godly armor, and in what circumstances did he take it off and wear his human armor?
100% man. When he was tempted, he was tempted as we are.
All right.
When he hungered as we are. When he was tired as we are. You find him sleeping.
Yeah, yeah.
He would feel pain as we do feel pain. In John 11, 35, he wept. So he never used his godly power to advantage himself. But where he needed to help humanity, he used his godly power. For instance, a sick man has been brought to him. You remember the story in the book of Luke? They opened the roof, brought him down. He healed the man, but realizing that it's deeper than just a disease, your sins are forgiven. That is his starting point. Your sins are forgiven. They are complaining in their hearts. He's blaspheming. He's using his godly power. He reads their heart. They never even said, you are blaspheming. They pronounced it. But he could read their heart. And he said, which one is tough? He said to the man, take up your mat and walk. And people were there marveled, for only God can do such a thing.
Now, tell me, his claim to being a God is because he healed.
Not only healing, he raised the dead. He did. That's when you see the power of God working. Because if we can say, because he healed, there are many people who healed. There are some of us who healed. There are people, other people who claim to be healing. So not only that, but also forgiving sin.
Okay. Are there no other people who have claimed to be forgiving sin?
There are. They will be still. But those people will, in a real sense, blaspheme. Because only God can forgive sin.
I get you.
There's no man who can forgive sin. There's no man who is infallible. Only God. And only God is immortal. So whosoever will claim to be able to forgive sin, that person is blaspheming.
Hence, then, Christ was said to be blaspheming because he was human. And, of course, he came and he perished. And so we can then understand why it was blasphemy, not so?
It was blasphemy to the people who looked at him and who were opposing him. But if you read the scriptures deep down in their hearts, they were convicted that there's no man who can do. One of them in John 3, it's Nicodemus who came to him by night, and he says, we know. He does not say, I know. Because remember, he was of the class of the Pharisees.
Yes.
He says, we know that no one can do these things except he is from God. So most of them, they were opposing him. Not because they did not know, but because of their position, just like Herod. Yes.
So the man was born, came to live with humanity on earth, yet without sin. I suppose he used his godly advantage on that part?
Not at all.
Is there any other man who lived and was without sin?
He lived without sin. So those were the possibilities. Even us today, all who accepted Christ, gave it. John 1 verse 12, it says, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, gave he them power to become sons of God. And if we become sons of God and we stick to the will of God, imbued by the Holy Spirit, we will hate sin, which is displaying the glory of God.
So he came to show us that it is possible to live without sin.
Exactly.
But ever since he died and resurrected, has anyone ever been able to accomplish that example?
We cannot show, we cannot see. But yes, at the end of it all, if you read Revelation chapter 7, it says the 144,000, they were found without fault. There was no guile found in their mouth. Meaning, even now, I cannot say to you, Derek, you are not saved. You are a perpetual sinner. It's possible to live without sin.
Yeah. Except that, of course, we only read about it theoretically. We were not able to point out and say, here lived a man. Here is a grave. He was without sin. We can point at the grave of Christ and say, here the man was buried. I mean, people traveled to Israel to his supposed grave and saying, here lived a man who was buried and resurrected, who was without sin. Any other grave can we point at?
There's no grave we can point.
Of a man who was sinless.
Unless we are gifted with the same gift, a prophetic gift where we can see people. That, I think, God hid it intentionally so that we don't know.
So, therefore, we are just assuming that being without sin is basically possible because Christ did it. But we don't really have a tangible example of that.
It is by faith.
Ah, okay. I see.
Yes.
All right, we are going to be taking it by faith. My elder, we're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow. Must thank you so much for coming through today. We'll connect you again tomorrow at the same time and same place. I must appreciate the time that you've made for us this afternoon. Thank you so, so much. Bless you.
Thank you. Have a blessed day as well.
Lovely. Thank you, my elder.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.